Time for Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Metro County Hospital Health Systems. And it's time for a monthly chat with Beloit City Administrator Jason Rabu. We bumped him up a week because, well, he's flexible. And we had something else that was coming up next week. Alice, is that right? Alice coming in next week? Yeah, it helps if I
talk about the spring banquet for Heart Choices next week. So okay. Jason agreed to come a week early this month.
All right, so let's get right into it. How'd your Hawkeyes do in the NIT?
Pretty good till that second round, I think. They stumbled there in overtime, but yeah, it's kind of not the greatest year.
The fact that you know that means you're a true fan.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot would be like, okay, a team's not in the big dance. Why do I care? Yeah. Wait till next year. Hey, did you know they played two more weeks?
Yeah.
All right. Well, well, Jason is with us. Let's see, lots of things to get to. How about the update on East Main?
Yeah, they're East Main. They're moving really well on that project. Obviously, we've had really good weather here the last month and a half that they've been out on the scene, and they're doing the first phase. If you've been out there, right up there by the new Casey's there on the on the east end of the project, and then they also did the west end of the project. So they're going to get those hopefully poured. They're getting the paving equipment showed up here the last week or so. So if all things fall into place and they don't get too much water, although we need the rain, so that's kind of the I'm willing to sacrifice some of that just to get rain for the area, but if everything goes well, they should be pouring, and that'd be great to get that end open, especially for Casey's, which is really busy down there.
Sure.
So then the second phase would be kind of hitting more of the middle of the project and getting some of that stuff poured, and there's about two phases in there. So really, all in all, they're moving ahead really well, and the project's been really smooth so far, which is great.
Okay, how about Court Street?
Yeah, so Court Street's kind of, just keep moving the streets. Right? That's what we want to do. Court Street's kind of a street that internally we'll be able to rebuild with our staff, and it's we're just going to tackle the first part would be between Mill Street and Hersey there. And which is in really poor shape. I mean, it is a brick street. I like brick streets personally, but that one's in pretty poor disrepair. Had water breaks over the years and sewer. Yeah, a lot of back when they put those water and sewer mains in, they probably didn't do the best job packing, or who knows, things change over time. So a lot of dips and issues with that street. So kind of got a real rough but a good estimate for the council to consider, of what the material costs are, because obviously we already have the labor costs. So got that through to them. We'll also be replacing the water main through there. It's in pretty poor shape. There is a sewer main in there, but basically on Mill Court and Mill, I'll get it right here, Court and Mill, they had, back when they did Mill through there, they didn't replace the sewer main in that part of it, just in that downtown area. I think they're looking at, speed, trying to get it open back up for the businesses and having to, put in all those service lines. So the technology they have now, they can just go through some of those sewer mains like that and line it, just push a liner through it, so you don't even need to dig it up. So that's what we're probably going to utilize in this area. So,
and then you guys are going to be coordinating with those businesses in that block here within the next week or so, and hoping to get the project going right away, I take it.
That's just it. Yeah, I kind of wanted to get it all the ducks in a row, and then just get together with those businesses to talk about how it may affect them and what we can do to mitigate it, and then also to kind of hopefully give them a timeline so that they know, because obviously there's just going to be inconveniences no matter what. But midsummer or whatever, it should be a great improvement for that area. So
there's some different looks around town. I mean, the old Solomon Valley building is gone. Yeah. That was taken out, and then I've seen a house or two of one that I didn't know. It might have been a while, but it was an eyesore, and it's gone.
Yeah.
On a corner. Can you talk a little bit about just that? I mean, that improves aesthetically. It just improves things. And when you have rundown buildings or a rundown house or something not taken care of it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, Wade, it's great you bring that up, because we actually are in the process with Carol Torkelson over at North Central Regional Planning to apply for another demolition and rehabilitation grant. And that helps, especially on the residential side. Obviously, that's really what it's geared towards. And we just went through one of those where I believe we did around, a dozen.
I think there's like 13 is what they ended up doing, if I remember.
Yeah, and then about that many for rehabilitation. So that really helped clean up some of those rougher houses in town. And so we're going to go for that again, where we'll again have that. And this grant's about $300,000. So again, that'll help to continue systematically go after that. And that's just a community block development grant, I believe. And so hopefully we'll know more towards the end of the year if we get it, and we'll be able to commence that next year. So that'll really help, again, with those houses, because I think, just like you're mentioning, you know, with those either commercial buildings or those residential structures, if we can keep those cleaned up, it just helps keep the block from going down the same path. And I think people appreciate it. It helps everybody's property values. And then hopefully, you know, and that commercial building coming down and different things, that maybe something new will go back in there. That's really the hope there.
So. Jason Raby, he's the city administrator there in Beloit. He's our guest every month here on Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. Okay, a new ATV, UTV policy.
Yeah.
All right, you got to tell me more about this.
Super
I know Chad's
exciting.
Had it in the news, but yeah. I mean, I was just going to go out and get a four-wheeler and go spinning around and doing some wheelies.
Apparently not.
Okay, apparently not. Apparently got to move outside to see.
Well, you could. I also discussed the penalty phase of this situation,
well,
too.
There's consequences for what you do,
This is kind of one of those, you're dealing with, you know, probably more common sense type things, and so it's always hard.
Not everybody has that.
Well, though. Yeah, it's really hard to legislate that, and you hate doing it too, but really what this is really intended for, we're small town, rural USA, you know, people are still going to be able to use their ATVs, you know, we have that ability to use them on the UTVs on the street if they go through the proper channels with that, and then, you know, tooling around on your yard and doing yard work and, you know, goofing around, I don't think that's a problem, you know, using it as a tool, but again, in some instances, we were having issues with people, you know, racing around their yards or using it as a racetrack, that type of thing, and kind of being a general, you know, nuisance to the neighbors or the neighborhood. So it just allows us to be able to, you know, say, hey, point to something, say, hey, you really shouldn't be doing that,
because
you would think that would be a known thing for your neighbors, but that's kind of what the point of that is. So we still want people to use their ATVs and enjoy them and use them for the right purpose. And when you're going to go race around, maybe go find a farm or a dirt track somewhere. And
what would be if somebody didn't have that common sense? What's the penalty or what's the repercussions for somebody that would just overdo that?
Yeah, I think basically you just get a visit either from our code guy or the police, just saying, "Hey, here's the code." Yeah, you know, they're usually pretty good about talking about it
with
first.
With a big club.
Before they probably would get too serious about it, you know, if they probably had to go back again, then there might be more just this typical, you know, civil ticket type thing. But yeah,
I'm trying to remember exactly how it was. Back, this is before Chad was here, but Mike Trent was our news director there for a while, and he did a story. There's actually a chicken ordinance.
Yeah.
You know about this?
I know about it.
Well,
but
this
don't,
is good.
Don't grill me too hard. I don't know
you,
it that well.
You really are a terrific administrator if you're aware of that and everything going on. But there's something about you can only have so many chickens or something like that in town, or so much poultry. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, I just know that typically, because there's other towns with chicken ordinances, they have rule about how many chickens you can have. And then I think the rule about a rooster and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not super familiar. But yeah, if you're interested in chickens, just look up our code and make sure you follow it and have some fresh eggs, I guess. So.
You know, I've got a neighbor just a couple of blocks away. They can't be much farther than that. They evidently have a rooster.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if this rooster never really did understand his job or if daylight savings time has got him screwed up, because the only time I ever hear him is between 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So maybe he works the night shift.
I'm in my office. It's about 9:30. I hear one old boy going off somewhere, and it's just like, okay, dude.
I like it. So. All right, let's shift to something a little bit more serious. Capital Improvement Plan meeting coming up.
Yeah, so kind of like I talked about last week or last time, the process the council and the governing body or then the staff are going to be going through, because I think you know, you're talking about expensive things, and it's prudent for us to really plan for them so we know how we're going to pay for them and when we're going to do them and the priority, but also that we don't make a mistake in planning. You know, you don't build something now and then in 15 years you're like, man, I wish we would have done that, because so really what we're going to have is just what I like to call just a big brainstorm or dream session here on the 28th for the council members. It's really time for the governing body to just have a brain dump, you know, and it's obviously a public meeting, so anybody can sit there and watch, but it's really going to be intended just for them to be able to write things down. And a lot of this we already have, you know, we've had department heads or people have identified it, you know, we know common things that, man, I wish this, you know, North Walnut would get redone or, you know, different roads would get fixed or redone. So a lot of those we know, but we just kind of want to get that all gathered, at least from their perspective. And then the other part of that we're going to gather is, kind of what is important to them. How would they grade it, or what would they say is important grading factors? You know, because some people might say, hey, I'm really focused on cost. Others might say, I'm really focused on, you know, condition, or I'm really focused on how does it benefit our community.
Right.
So I think all those criteria would be useful in trying to determine, you know, we're going to have a huge list of trying to figure out each year, you know, what's the top rated things for that year, and getting them in that right order, because you have limited dollars. So I think it's going to be a really great exercise, and I can see us after this even getting the community involved in a very similar type session along this path. I mean, this isn't something that's done in a week, you know, so as we continue to build this, because then eventually it'll go on to a master sheet that'll have all that grading criteria. It'll be graded. It'll have the funding sources, the funding gaps, and then and obviously it's a life sheet. It's something you're looking at every year. You're basing your decisions off of, you're budgeting, and adjusting. You know, sometimes opportunities come up, or also, oh, we got a KDOT grant over here, let's flip this from 3 years from now to now, and we'll flip this one back down. You know, so the great thing is it's a great roadmap, it's a great planning tool, and it's helpful for citizens too that say, hey, what about, you know, this intersection or this street? We can say, hey, you know, we have identified it. Here's where we're at, and I think it's a great tool for the council and citizens to look at it too. So
I have the same type of list at home.
Right?
Priorities by what my wife wants me to do.
So you got this one for 2019. We got this slated for 2025.
No. See, it's like, here's what you're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Here's what's coming up this weekend.
I believe they call that the honey-do list.
Yes,
right?
The honey-do list. Yeah, so, it's absolutely
it's very
true.
Similar. It's the citizen do list.
And when we get together and brainstorm, as you say, let's just say it's a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, it will get done. There's no need to badger him about it every 6 months.
Yeah.
You act like you know something about it.
He said he'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it when we get to it. Well, I'll get to the dishes when I want to get to the dishes. I'll get the laundry when I want to get to it. And that's a fair comeback.
Yeah.
Tree City USA.
Yeah. That's a great highlight and a great positive for our community. That's something that Lynn Miller with our Parks and Rec and the Tree Board, so a lot of people in Beloit have been working hard on. And basically we're hosting it today and tomorrow, and it's people from all over the state of Kansas. We have about 100 different community members and people who are passionate about trees, and the city of Beloit is actually a Tree City USA member, and so this will be our 40th year of being that. So that's pretty cool that coincides. Tree City USA has been around for about 41 years, so we're one of the original ones, and one of the original people involved with that has ties to Beloit. He's going to be coming back to speak here, so it's really exciting. If you're interested, I think it's going to be a great thing for a lot of historical knowledge. So if you find somebody that went to it, you might be able to get them for some information. But he's really going to go back into, you know, how trees got here, what was like before the trees were here. You know, just different. There's a lot of interesting things because. As you look around the plains here, especially now, it's not really necessarily conducive for trees, but there's a lot of trees in Beloit and in that area, so it's pretty cool. There'll be tours and different things going on, so it's a great little feather in our cap here the next 2 days.
That's
for
awesome.
Beloit.
Now, Fred Denneke was one of the founding members of Tree City USA. Yep. He'll be the one that's doing the presentation. Yep. I think a lot of people may not realize that especially in the central and on the high plains, most of the trees that are here were imported. Right. And weren't there not a lot of native trees in this part of the country back at the time. So most of them have been brought in from elsewhere over the last couple centuries.
Anything else to add before we let you go, man?
No, wait, I think we're good, and I appreciate the time again.
Who do you have in your bracket? KU went in at all?
I didn't.
Fill out a bracket?
Yeah, I was so busy.
You are un-American. You didn't fill out a bracket?
It's like the first time.
Apparently you have
a
real
like a
job. You're focused on more important issues than a bracket.
I couldn't. I mean,
your kids fill one out. Family, anybody?
Usually we do, and that's just that we just did.
Wow.
Not, you know, between all
but when I was not in there, why would you care?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I would state, I guess. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who fills out an NIT bracket?
I don't know if anybody fills out an NIT bracket.
I never.
You guys want to be a part of my NIT pool next year?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll have three in it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You, your son, and me.
You're really dedicated NIT. But, it'd been definitely the monkey picking them this year because I've not followed it at all.
Yeah.
It's just,
well, you'd probably do better than all of us to overthink it.
Yeah, true.
Well, hey, we'll see you again in a month.
How's that sound? Appreciate it, Wade. Thanks,
all
Chad.
Right.
Yep.
Jason Raby, our guest today on Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit and Metro County Hospital Health Systems. He's the city administrator in Beloit, and not too long from now, he'll be the city manager. Moving on up.